The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 to 5. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch, the nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in God's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married as a young man marries a maiden. So will your sons marry you, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Now the second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant, to know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God say, Jesus is cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different types of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one it is given the Spirit of the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, to another the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to other gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of languages, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All things are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives each one as he determines.
As we come to Isaiah 62, verses 1 to 5, the Israelites are living in captivity in Babylon, and God gives them a word of hope through the prophet's words. Like many of the promises of God, there is no condition placed upon his people for God to fulfill these promises. He is going to fulfill it just because it is God's heart's desire to see it fulfilled. So God and Isaiah will not remain silent about the situation the Israelites are in. God is going to act, and Isaiah is going to tell the Israelites about what God is going to do. God is going to bring salvation to his people, and he's going to make them righteous. He's going to make it so that all will witness what God has done for them, and they will be glorified before all other peoples. God is going to give them a new name. The idea of having a new name is to say that God is going to give them a new position in relationship to himself. And this new relationship with God will be better than before. The people of God will no longer be associated with being desolate and abandoned, but will be honored as God's most precious. The name, Hephzibah, is the name of King Hezekiah's wife, and it literally means, my delight is in her. And Beulah means married. So there is going to be a new closeness between God and his people, and God will delight in them. When Isaiah speaks of Zion and Jerusalem and the land, these are figures of speech meaning the people of God and the blessings of God. Zion being the hill Jerusalem is built on, and Jerusalem being the capital city of Israel and the spiritual center of Israel's life with God. Although the people of God are in captivity, God is going to restore Jerusalem to its former glory. Nay, he's actually going to do more than that. He's going to raise it to even greater glory than before. This is another case where the prophecy has an immediate fulfillment, but then also a completed fulfillment with the coming of Jesus. But what a wonderful promise God makes to those who are in deep sorrow for the state of their lives and being apart from their land or feeling as if they are apart from the blessings of God. Because of their sinfulness, the land had been taken away from the Israelites, but God will intervene, and this separation from the land and the blessings of God will end. As God speaks about the land, he is really, as I said, speaking about how his people, how they will live in a life full of his blessings. God will marry his blessings to his people. God does, of course, see the Israelites return to Jerusalem and to Judah. But the ultimate fulfillment of his promise is in Christ. God has blessed his people and made them a people whom he delights in. He has given us a new name as the children of God. He has made us inheritors of his Spirit. He has made the church the bride of Christ. And this is not because we are good enough. We are aware of this, but because God has done this for us, all we have done is to accept it and allow God to make us into his new creation. He has given us his salvation and his righteousness in Christ. God in Christ truly has made his people something special. We are a forgiven people, a restored people, a redeemed people, a people brought to life, a people who have the Spirit of God within us. So as we come to our passage in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is explaining some things about being the people who have received this new name and who are inhabited by God's Spirit. And he's explaining this to the people in the church at Corinth. Now, as you've probably heard before, the Corinthian church was having some issues with division. Division amongst its people. People weren't seeing themselves all as one family. Now, as you have noticed, that everyone who attends our congregation is actually different from the others. You may have noticed that some have particular skills and abilities and interests and focuses, and some others will have different abilities and focuses. Some are more interested in music, others in making sure everyone feels welcome. Yet another who leads a community group, and still another who finds stewardship of creation really important. You've noticed this about each other, right? Not only this, but people differ in their spiritual giftings. Spiritual gifts are supernatural gifts God gives to people after they have received the Holy Spirit. Some people have amazing wisdom. Some people have a natural depth of knowledge which they can share and teach. Some have an unshakable faith in God. Others can perform miraculous healings or other miraculous signs. Some can be given messages from God to give to his people. Some can discern God's will more clearly. Some can speak in a different language to preach in or praise God in. And some are able to interpret these languages. However, God's Spirit doesn't give all spiritual gifts to any one person. And there isn't any particular spiritual gift that all get. Rather, God gives us individualized callings and giftings. However, God does say that if we desire something, we may ask Him for it. But in our natural humanness, this means that it can be easy for us to create divisions among us because of our differences of opinion, our differences of priorities. And I would be lying if I said that everyone in this church has the same ideas as to deal with that very contemporary issue of living with COVID and what it means to be faithful to God during COVID. And sometimes the differences between us can seem so dividing that it's hard to see how others could possibly be truly listening to God and being faithful to God's call on their lives. I think the problem the Corinthian church was suffering was similar to this. They were allowing their differences in abilities, their focuses, their opinions, just their differences as people, to divide them. And so Paul says straight out, if a person in their hearts proclaims that Jesus is Lord, then they are a true Christian. Period. Now, just a quick side note, Paul uses the Greek Old Testament word for Yahweh for the word Lord here in this passage, meaning that what the Christian is to declare is that Jesus is God Almighty. So even though they may do things differently, having different focuses or different perspectives on things which we think are important, all people who follow Christ are God's people and a part of His church. Now this, of course, and these words of Paul are in the context of a pagan world full of idols. For a person to openly profess that Jesus is God or Lord was to reject what the rest of society believed. And so it had certain societal ramifications. It didn't give you a privileged position. In fact, it did quite the opposite. You didn't proclaim Jesus is God because it was the cool or it was in the zeitgeist of the times. Rather, doing so would have made everyone else go, oh, you're one of them. So in Paul's day in Corinth, one didn't declare Jesus is Lord unless one truly did believe in Jesus. And I say this because what this passage isn't saying is that the Spirit of God makes it impossible for anyone to say the words Jesus is Lord. Right? This is not something that the Spirit makes impossible for just anyone in the world unless they truly believe them. Anyone can say these words, obviously, in practice. But Paul's point is that anyone who truly believes in Jesus and is committed to following Him is to be considered as part of the one church, one family, even if they disagree over other things we think are important. The Spirit of God does not make us homogeneous. In fact, God embraces our individuality and gives even greater expression to it by giving us a unique set of spiritual gifts or a unique spiritual gift on top of our natural abilities and interests. As I said, one thing will be more important than another to one person, but for another it will be the other way around. It doesn't mean that one is right and one is wrong, although sometimes, of course, that can be the case, but often it isn't. It's just people weighing things different with differing priorities. One person might think that helping the poor is the most important aspect of the Christian life. Another thinks it's effective public sharing of the gospel. Yet another focuses on home groups. And yet another the music in church services. Are any of these unimportant? No. They're all important and should be a part of the life of the church. These differences aren't to bring divisions. The distinctions between us are there so that we can mutually build up the whole family of God together. God has made it so that each person has something unique and valuable to contribute to the rest of the people of God. And through giving people different passions, this means that the church is people who have the drive to see God's will fulfilled in many different areas and in many different ways. So God has called each one of us to be a blessing to each other. He wants us to help one another, and He wants us to contribute to the life of His church. What Paul then goes on to show is that although God works differently through each one of us, it is still the same Spirit of God we have all received. I have received the same Spirit that you have received, and that each one of us has received from God, and that every Christian has received from God. But as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So yes, we are all a part of God's special work. We have received a position of great worth because we have believed in Jesus and been blessed with every blessing through Him. God has taken us from wherever we were in life and transformed us into a child of God, into His child. He has given us a family to belong to called His church. In this family, we are all different. We still have our own unique take on this world and the Christian faith. We have our own set of abilities and interests and spiritual gifts. But this is the work of one God who has made us one, yet values our individuality and values us as individuals. So here we are, a community of different people, all set on following the one Lord Jesus Christ, all coming to learn from Him, to follow Him, but each in our own way according to the gifts, abilities, and interests God has given us. Each of us has a role to play in building up the whole body of Christ. We are to help each other. We are to learn from each other. We are to bless each other. And we are to love one another. God has made us into those who He delights in. We have received salvation and righteousness. It has been poured out into all of our lives. We are all of great value to God, and He has given us a new name in Christ. We are His family. We are His children. We are one in Christ. Amen.